Welcome, I'm Cyrus Afshar, and this is the Wigo's Informal Economy Podcast, Social Protection. In this podcast, we will discuss some of the most pressing issues related to the linkages between the informal economy and social protection, including debates around workers' health provision, pension schemes for older workers, as well as childcare systems and other social protection policies for informal workers in order to improve their livelihoods. Wigo has launched a new phase of its podcast. In this season, we will examine the pieces of the social protection system in order to understand the challenges, opportunities, and difficulties faced by informal workers, always taking a bottom-up approach, highlighting the workers' perspective. In other words, we will look at the different parts of the social protection system as if it were a solar system, as suggested by Valentina Barca and Juan Mejia. In this approach, at the center we have policy, legislation, governance, financing. Then further out, there are program designs, eligibility, and related issues. And finally, revolving around the second orbit, there are implementation matters such as registration, delivery of benefits, and so on. We will give special attention to the issue of digitalization, looking at how technology is being used to improve the inclusion of informal workers across the different elements of the social protection systems, but also we will discuss the risks and challenges involved. And today, in the third episode of the registration block, we travel to Latin America to take a regional overview of this issue regarding domestic workers, to learn about the challenges these workers face to be registered, the positive experiences, as well as the opportunities and limitations digital technology tools offered in this task. Among other issues revolving around registration for domestic workers in Latin America, we invited Adriana Paz. Adriana is currently the Secretary General of the International Domestic Workers Federation, IDWF, and previously she served as Latin America Regional Coordinator for more than 6 years, also at IDWF. And now, let's hear our talk with Adriana Paz. Okay, so Adriana, let's jump right into it. So from what you could observe, what are the main barriers you have found during your tenure as Latin America coordinator at IDWF regarding registration of domestic workers?
The barriers are unfortunately many. In the legal framework, most of the countries have domestic workers covered by social protection. This is in theory. However, the problem is that in many of the countries, perhaps in half of them, the regime of the social protection coverage is this voluntary regime. So when it's voluntary, it really means nothing to the domestic workers. If it's not an obligatory regime, then workers and employers do not register into the social protection. So that's the first thing. The voluntary regime means that it's not denying their rights, but it's not making them accessible enough. The nature of domestic work is not as other workers that are working in a traditional industrial relationship, that there is a contractual relationship and there is one employer and there might be 200-300 workers. Domestic workers, they have multiple employers and they work part-time, sometimes by hours or sometimes full-time. The tendency in Latin America is that the majority of the domestic workers are working more on a part-time basis, leave out instead of leave in, and just by hours. So you find some workers that they have 3 or 5 employers at the same time. So they go to one house on Monday, a different employer on Tuesday, a different employer on Thursday, and they go from 4 hours to 8 hours. So this tells us that these workers have multiple employers and they are part-time basis. So when we talk about the design of the social protection programs, these are not designed for workers like domestic workers that have multiple employers that are on a part-time basis or a few hours. So the technical design of the programs is not adequate to these workers. I'll give you two examples. In Paraguay, it was a long, hard struggle for the domestic workers unions in Paraguay to be included in the social protection. And the unions were really fantastic. They were very creative in getting the government to the table and to make the design. But at the same time that they were included in the social protection, maybe a year or two later, there was a new labor law that excludes workers that are on a part-time basis. This is La Ley de Tiempo Parcial. So on the one hand, they are included, but because they are on a part-time basis and the majority of the domestic workers are on a part-time basis, then they are excluded. The second example is Mexico. It is an obligatory regime, but the design of this obligatory regime says that the domestic workers, in order to be able to access to the contributions, the monthly contribution to the Mexican Social Security Institute, it needs to be above the average contribution into the fund. This is something that is not required to other workers. The contribution that domestic workers make is usually below what is required to access to the contributions. Why is below? Because what is paid in practice is lower than what the minimum wage says. And in some states in Mexico, the minimum wage is below of what the minimum wage says for the national average. So you have the clash of the theory and the reality. So because in the one hand, they have access to social contributions, but when they are contributing, they not reach the minimum amount to then receive those benefits. And this has to do with the technical design, because when you are making the design of the program for the contribution to the workers, you really need to look at what is the national minimum wage. Is this realistic for these workers to contribute if they are making this little? Not only in theory, but also in practice. This is then why workers and employers, they decide to just not contribute, because they know that if they contribute, it won't be enough for them to really access the benefits because they don't meet the requirement. So they say, I prefer to not be discounted from my paycheck, and I just prefer the money here and now. The other barrier is with the multiple employers. This is also an example from Mexico that the workers were required to collect the money from each one of the employers and ask one of their employers to be the official contributor to the social protection to the domestic worker. That is impossible, because the design of the program was asking that only one employer from domestic worker will make the contribution of the earnings of the worker during the week. But what happens if during the week you have five employers and not only one? So then it was one employer, the one in charge of making the contribution. And as I said, that meant either for the employers to coordinate themselves to receive the contribution and one making the contribution, or it was the onus on the worker to ask these contributions. This is ridiculous. This doesn't happen. These are bad designs. The other barriers are institutional barriers. When I say institutional barriers, is that sometimes the officers, the employers in these social security branches are not aware that domestic workers have access to this, and they are not helpful, and they don't know that they have to be registering them, and they don't give information to employers, they don't give information to workers, they are just not informed. So it's the union that then have to do information workshops. So there is no enough information and training to the social security officers to then effectively support the registration. So you have administrative. When I say administrative, I also refer to budget. If you are opening up these services to a sector, then you need some budget to be able to support the questions or the registration, the enrollment of both the workers and the employers. But when there is nobody there to work on this, then it just doesn't happen. And the other big one, of course, is what we call the socio-cultural barriers. Many employers are not covered themselves by social protection. And they say, if I am not covered by the social protection, why the domestic worker will have access to that? In their view, domestic work is not a real work, and domestic workers are not real workers. And then there is not view as this obligation, because it wouldn't occur to you to not enroll your employer if you are part of, I don't know, a company, a healthcare worker in a hospital. You are not going to say that to that worker, why you are going to have access to Social Security if I don't. It doesn't occur to you to think about that with other worker in other occupation. So basically, this is discrimination. They still don't see that these workers are workers and they should be part of the social protection, because she's an indigenous woman. She doesn't even know how to read and write. She's poor. No, there is a lot of these prejudices that they still don't consider these workers as full recipients of rights, same as any other worker. So that's a big one. And the last one is from the point of view of the behavioral science, there is this el sesgo del futuro. You don't see the future. All you can see is your present, because this is what is tangible, this is what is important. And the contributions into the future, you just cannot see the future. And especially if you are struggling economically and you just need the money here now. And also some lack of trust on the systems of your government, basically. This is for everybody. I mean, for employers, for workers that don't see the importance of registering themselves. So those are some of the barriers, I think.
Yeah, so let's move on. So while we are talking about Mexico, recently in 2020, the Institute of Social Security of Mexico implemented an electronic registration system to facilitate the registration of domestic workers through the web or a mobile app. Could you tell us more about how this experience is going in Mexico? And in what ways do you think digital technology could be useful to boost domestic workers' registration? And what are the likely problems, do you think?
Yeah, I think the apps are very useful, especially for employers. It really gives them the facility to just not doing the paperwork in person, the web and the app. That certainly it's been useful. And when Mexico changed from voluntary regime to obligatory regime, there has been a huge increase, more than 100% of increase in the registration of domestic workers into the voluntary regime. Still, it's very low numbers, but it's been increasing. I think the use of the web and the application is good. However, as I was saying, the problem why we don't see these numbers increasing, they have increased at the beginning, and then it's kind of like a plateau right now. Yeah, the app, the web have helped, but the problem, it has to do also with the design of the program and the lack of fiscalization fines if you don't register. So a legislation that doesn't have reinforcement and a legislation that doesn't have teeth to the employers, if you don't register, then it's almost condemned to not be compliant, even if you have apps, even if you have web, that is certainly good. I think I support the use of apps and webs that make it easier, but it is not a solution in itself if you don't look at the other pieces that are actually assure you that they are going to comply. The lack of contracts also is a problem, because when I talk about design, it needs to be very integrated, the registration to the Social Security, with other elements that have to do with the registration of employers and the registration of domestic workers in different ways. Like, for example, yeah, you register yourself as employer and as a worker into the social protection, but what about the employers that are not registering themselves into the social protection website? For this, and what we have seen in other countries that have much higher number of registration, is that also employers are registered in the Ministry of Labor as employer. So you have a cross data that you can compare. And then this is the way how you can get caught if you are registered as employer. but then you are not registered as employer in the social protection. So it is a matter of data and connecting this. In Argentina, for example, based on your income, and here we're talking now to the taxation system. If you are contributing to taxes, I mean, government knows what is your income. In Argentina, what the ILO and the union and the Ministry of Labor, what they have done is, if you have this income, it is more likely that you have a domestic worker. And if you are not registered as employer in the Ministry of Labor, then it's very likely that you are not registering. And if you are not registered also in the social protection, then it's very likely that you are breaking the law. Because as employer, your obligation is to pay and to register. And based on your income, let's say you're not registered here and here as employer and in the social protection, in the contributions, then this is a data that is subject to monitoring and to fiscalization. And Argentina has been doing a lot of efforts in just making random monitoring, and they apply fines, and the fines are very big. That sends a message to employers. In Chile, they also have these mechanisms. So web and applications are good, but are not the magic bullet. If you do not have monitoring, if you don't have big data, if you don't have any other elements that really support, it is not only a matter of making this accessible, but if you don't have to do it, if there is no way that you're going to be caught up, that you are not registering, then that in itself is not going to increase registrations.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned some positive initiatives. In some Latin American countries have advanced in registration of domestic workers, such as Uruguay and Chile that you just mentioned. Can you point out some factors that may have contributed to this increase in registration in these countries?
I think the sociocultural aspects are very important. I think in these countries, in Uruguay and Chile, domestic work has more recognition at societal level. Domestic workers are recognized as workers. So this treatment is reflected on the laws, and this treatment reflected in the social protections as well. In talking with my friends in Chile that are employers of domestic workers, they tell me, I am afraid as employer if I don't have a written contract with my domestic workers and if I don't contribute to the social protection. It just doesn't occur to me to do that. I am afraid. Then I ask, why are you afraid? Because I am breaking the law and I can get a fine. So I can be punished for not doing that. So a completely different scenario than in Guatemala or in Mexico or in Bolivia. Nobody's afraid of that. You're not breaking the law. I mean, that is not institutionalized in a societal level. And why they are afraid? Because there are monitoring and enforcement mechanisms that have been educating employers and workers that this is a right and this is an obligation. And there is infrastructure, there is big data, there is the Ministry of Labor in Chile. They have a template of a contract that is very easy for any employer to just go there, download, and it very clearly states what kind of contributions based on what kind of employment contract you have. Is it part-time? Is it hours? Is it full-time? So they made it really very easy to everybody. You just go there, download and print and sign with your employer. Then the registration also is easier. I've seen in the website, and they also have applications. They made it super easy and simple. And of course, that helps. So monitoring mechanisms, reinforcement, and sanctions to employers if they don't comply with their responsibility, and an overall sense that domestic work is work.
Excellent. So what other initiatives do you think could help to improve registration levels for domestic workers?
What is always very important is to engage together with the domestic workers unions in campaigns that are going to be effective. I'll just go back to Uruguay and Chile. You have strong unions, domestic workers unions in those countries. If you have stronger unions, that are able to unionize and to teach about their rights to the workers, it really helps when a worker is aware of their rights, when they can claim those rights. So the necessity to continually strengthening domestic workers' unions is key also to improve their registration, because government will not go and work with these workers at the level of the grassroots, supporting their empowerment and teaching them about their rights. What they can do, of course, or what they have to do, is registration campaigns, communication campaigns that are very smart, with strong key messaging, speaking to the employers and speaking to the workers. However, the level of raising consciousness to claim those rights, that is on the social organization of the workers themselves. We have found that the most effective campaigns for registration are the ones that are not very expensive. Rather than having campaigns, it is better to have a consistent, steady campaign of registration throughout the time. I'll share with you an example of Paraguay. That is actually the idea of the unions, because they were also faced with the same question. We don't have the money to do a registration campaign. We don't have the money to do a mass media campaign. So the union in Paraguay, what they came up is that along with the electricity bills that you get every month, there is a flyer that tells you everything about the social security registration for domestic workers and what are the consequences if you don't do it. And there is the link for you to go and register. So everybody pays electricity bill, all the employers. And this is cheaper because it's just clipped, it's attached to your electricity bill. And they had this for years. So for years, employers have been used to read that they need to register to their domestic worker. So there are creative ways of like all the time sending this message instead of very expensive campaigns in TV that are for 6 months and then nobody hears about it. So yes, the registration campaigns need to be steady. The social change, it doesn't happen only because there is a law in theory, but if nobody knows the law, this doesn't comply. So it requires consistency, and this is the responsibility of the government. But as I said, supporting domestic workers to also do the registration. In Mexico here, we see a lot of registration campaigns that are every Sunday in different parts of the city. There are booths of the union and the IMSS, the Mexican Social Security Institute, and they go in different neighborhoods and they talk with the workers. And it's a way also for the unions to do recruitment, to do membership building at the same time that they are registering them. This is good. It's a good partnership. However, Mexico City has 30 million people living in this city, and going everywhere, it might not be possible. But what I like about this methodology is that it really gives protagonism and legitimacy and support to the union, and then they see that the union is working together with the Social Security Institute. But again, if the design is bad, if it's not realistic for workers to contribute, if it's not worth it for the workers, they are going to contribute, but they are not going to get the benefits, then what is the point in contributing if it really doesn't solve my needs, right? This is the core of the matter, I think.
So there have been suggestions that intermediary companies could be useful to support registration of domestic workers. Do you think these intermediary companies could have a role to assist with overly complicated registration procedures? What's your take on that?
It has to do a lot with what kind of intermediary, what is the design, what's the purpose. I'll give you an example of an intermediary company that does this. It's called Simplifica. It's based in Colombia, but also in Mexico. Last time I spoke to them, I think they had plans to spread throughout other six countries in Latin America. This is a private company for employers to register their domestic worker. The first one, the original one, was in Colombia, because the Colombian social security system for domestic workers is super complicated. It is not friendly at all. and you need to spend a good chunk of hours. If you are an employer, the bureaucracy is just insane. There are different regimes. So even if you are an employer that is socially aware that you want to comply with your responsibilities as an employer, this is a big deterrent for them. The opposite of what we were talking about in Chile or in Mexico. So these companies, they saw as that one of the reasons why employers are not registering, even if they want, is because it just takes so much of their time and they are not going to spend that time in doing this. So they are offering this support to the employers. You pay, they have different packages for you as employer, different rates. If you want to make the contributions every month, or if you want to do it everything at once in 1 year, different package that you can use. But when we think that this is a responsibility and a right, the solution to the problem is not to put intermediaries that are going to make it easier for you. And when I say for you employer, what kind of employer we're talking? We're talking about maybe a 0.5% of the employers that are socially responsible, socially aware, and employers that have the extra money to hire somebody to navigate the bureaucracy for them. So it is not really a solution. Actually, if the problem is that this is very complicated, let's advocate together to change this really bad administrative technical design of the social protection system in the first place. So it is only giving band-aids to very small population of employers that are willing to do this. It is not going to solve the problem of the lack of registration. Here, the system is bad. The system doesn't help, and it doesn't allow easily to domestic workers and employers to register. So it is not a real solution. And actually, it can go even against what the unions are fighting for on the ground, because the unions have been able to identify that this is one big problem. So they are advocating to reform this design to make it easier and accessible for everybody. But if we just identified, oh, yeah, I'm going to hire somebody to do this for you, that's not the way. So I get very, very nervous when I hear that this is a really an amazing solution to improve registration. No, it's just going to support maybe 0.5% of employers, and this is not sustainable. And it is not really putting the responsibility of the government or the state in making this accessible and accommodating to the nature of domestic work that is multi-employers, that is part-time, etc.
Excellent. So to wrap up, can you tell us about interesting actions on the ground undertaken by domestic workers organizations affiliated to IDWF to improve domestic workers registration in national social security schemes?
Yeah, from the organizing point of view, the domestic workers are always registering, raising awareness to all the union members or the union members that they are recruiting about their registration. They are the first entry point when a domestic worker is going to them for support or for information, for complaints about labor dispute. So they are the first one because they fought for these laws. The other strategy is that domestic workers unions want to engage and put this core responsibility to the social protection institutes in their countries. So they engage with them, they demand budget, they demand collaboration, and they organize together registrations. As I said, in Mexico or in other countries, they go together. Every Saturday or Sunday, they put like registration booths in different parts of the city. This means political will, this means institutional engagement. The other is roundtable, an institutional roundtable for implementation of C189, the ILO Convention on Decent Work for Domestic Workers. Because under this package of decent work for domestic worker, it is access to social security. So it is an opportunity for them to talk about what are all the other elements that we need to reinforce and implement in order to improve the registration. It is not only a matter of Registration. I mean, to get to the registration point, first of all, you need to work in other steps. Like, for example, minimum wage. If the country doesn't have a minimum wage for the sector, if the country has a minimum wage that is way below to what is needed to contribute to the social protection, that is not going to happen. So there are many elements that you need to look at first that are in place to then make possible the registration. So to talk about all these elements, like, for example, minimum wage, mechanisms to define minimum wage, it's another big one. Contracts, written contracts, monitoring. If you don't have all these elements, registration is just a blue unicorn. So to talk about all these elements, they have been pushing and very successful ways, most of the countries have an interinstitutional or interministerial roundtable for implementation of decent work. The first point in the agenda is the registration of Social Security. We have roundtables in Costa Rica, in Argentina, in Mexico, we have in Peru, in Paraguay, in Colombia. We have in Dominican Republic, in Panama, comes and goes. Unfortunately, many of these interinstitutional roundtables stopped during the pandemic, and it took us a while to reactivate them again. But the domestic workers know that if there are no institutionalized social dialogue spaces, it is very difficult to actually follow up and implement. We have been working very closely with the ILO to create this structure in the first place. The government needs to be responsible for leading this structure. To make that happen, the strategy has been usually the domestic workers instigating and working in collaboration with other organizations from the civil society, let's say feminist organizations or union centers that are at the beginning conveying and bringing together Ministry of Labor, branches, Ministry of Women, Ministry of Social Development, etc. And once you have them at the table, then to get one of them, usually it's the Ministry of Labor, is in their jurisdiction to commit to maintain the coordination of this table, because you need to send an agenda, you need to send invitations, etc., right? And coordination takes time. The domestic workers unions, they are not in their computers sending or developing the agenda, but they are instigating the creation of these spaces and then saying, okay, now you do this. It's been too difficult, but it's been, I think, very strategic, because they know that this needs to be institutional, because just having a meeting here and there with different people from the beast of the state, that there are so many ministries, that we need all of these people talking together about this solution. So this is what we see in Latin America. And why? It's because we have domestic workers unions that are strong. I'm not saying big in numbers, big in resources, but strong in their capacity to fight for their rights. They have a really strong conviction that they are the good trade union leaders. And they say, even if they don't have social, structural, political power, but they always bring the government and they say, okay, we need to talk. There are really good examples of that. Brazil has a roundtable right now to design the national care systems. It's an interministerial roundtable with 16 ministries in Brasilia, and FENATRAD, the Brazilian National Domestic Workers Federation, is the only sector that have a seat in the technical roundtable with the right to vote. So this is, for me, one of the best examples of an institutionalized social dialogue to really implement. So yeah, Brazil has one of the best examples of social dialogue that we have right now in the region.
Excellent. Adriana Paz, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cyrus. Always happy to talk with you.
If you want to learn more about registration for domestic workers, we will leave some links in the description of the episode. And don't forget to follow WeGo in our social media channels, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, to get the most updated publications, events, and more. I am Cyrus Afshar, and this was the WeGo's Informal Economy Podcast, Social Protection. See you next time.